With me, let's sing. Let's just enter into worship this evening. Think about the place where you are and what He's done for you even today.
You are welcome in this place, Father. You are omnipotent. Oh, of all my mercy and grace.
Think about Him. One more time, just lift our hands, just close our eyes and think about Him.
Spirit, Thou art welcome here in this place. Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome in this place.
Brother Terry Horn, if you come and open in prayer, just invite him in this evening. Amen.
Lord Jesus, we're thankful, Lord, once again that we can be back in the house of God. We want to take just a moment just to invite you to come in and be among us. What would a service be, Lord, outside of just having a meeting if you were not the predominant one? We ask that you would come present, take the uppermost seat. Lord, it's hard for us to get transitioned from the daily routine, but that's why we come in and read our Bibles and pray and meditate and get prepared for the service tonight. Lord, I ask that you would give us, Lord, an understanding of why we're here. Give us an understanding of what our purpose in life is. Help us to better understand the things, Lord, that would be important in our life. I pray that you'd anoint the ministry tonight. Come be with us and give us grace. Shower us with your blessings tonight is our prayer as we invite you to come among us. We ask, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that again.
Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy.
Amen. Do you love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Is He your all in all?
Yes.
Don't shake their hands just yet, but I want you to look to the person to your right. Look to the person to your left. You already know who's in front of you. Just turn around and look who's behind you. Now, I want you to realize something. If you have a problem with that person on all points beside you or around you, go ahead and move. I'll give you a little bit of time to move. All right? Now, you know who's beside you. If you think they're going to hinder you from worshiping tonight, go ahead and move. I'll wait for a little bit. All right. Nobody's moving. Now, take the problems and everything of the day and just wash it all away. We'll have church tonight. Is that all right? Amen. No worries. No devils. Huh. You say, Brother Joe, I was looking at my mama. Well, you might have a problem with your mama. I'm giving you a chance to get it all worked out before service gets into full swing. Is that all right? Praise the Lord. Let's go to the prayer request this evening. Are you just happy? I just thank God for being here tonight, just simply being here. Amen. Sister Teresa White wants us to pray with her and in respect to Brother Luke Gibson and his family. His mother passed away last evening. Sister Sherry Wiggins wants us to remember her father, Arthur Brewer. He is in the hospital with pneumonia. He's doing better this afternoon. Also, pray for his soul. And she goes on to say that her dad was a godly father and raising the children in church, but backslid after she had grown up. Just wants to thank you for your prayer. Sister Janet Kennedy offers a word of testimony in respect to the headaches that she was having. And prayer was made for her on Wednesday, and she says, thank God all the headaches are gone. She wants to thank everyone for praying. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Chuck Dixon asked us to join with him in prayer for his cousin, Terry Hale. He's in the hospital in Ohio and is in serious condition. He is having complications after having surgery and needs a touch from the Lord. Sister Phoebe Torres asked us to join with her in prayer for her uncle, who is suffering with cancer and is very ill. He is also a pastor of a small church. Also continue to pray for her family as they lost one of her uncles on today. Also, a sister that we sent a request in by way of the library, please, the sister has, her name is Sister Gladys Smith. She has multiple needs and asked the, within her body and asked the saints here to remember her and pray with her in prayer. Also, please pray for Brother Scotty Vanaglash. This is submitted by way of the library. He is back in the VA hospital and they say there is nothing more they can do. The cancer has spread all through him. The doctors only expect him to live another 24 hours. Also, pray for his wife, Sister Janet. Also, please keep our family in prayer. Thank you. God bless the Koenig family. Also, request a prayer from Brother Amos Cutts, who was approached on Friday at work with a prayer request. A Baptist minister's wife in Abingdon, Virginia, by the name of Vicki Bentley, has a reoccurring cancer, which has come back in her brain. Her brother of Roanoke requested prayer for her. Brother Amos wants us to remember that request. Also, please remember Brother Jeff Nunley in prayer tonight. He has been down with a bad head cold for 3 days now. Just take that before the Lord. Brother Bo Smeaton from Dyersburg, one of the pastors there in the area, has been having problems with his throat and trouble swallowing. Tests show that he has a solid nodule, 1.3 centimeters, on his thyroid. He goes in for a biopsy on Tuesday, January. Maybe that must be February 31st. Oh, that was back in, okay. Just remember Brother Bo. Also, please pray for Brother Bob King, who has a kidney infection and is very sick. As we take these before the Lord this evening, just uplifted hand to those that unspoken requests of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother David if he will come and lead us on behalf of these requests this evening.
Just bow our hearts, if you would. Lord, we just claim the promise of your word tonight, Lord. You see all the serious requests that's been turned in. Lord, we know that you know all about it tonight. So, Lord, we just want to offer them before you. Lord, you said to resist the devil, he'll flee from us. Lord, we stand on the promise of your word, Lord, for every sickness, Lord, every person that needs a healing touch. We claim it, Lord, and we add our faith with them believing tonight. Lord, knowing that the bride of Christ has been gathered tonight, Lord, and each one as we bring our lick of fire together, Lord, we stand tonight, Lord, and we sling our stone of confession, Lord, and prayer of faith tonight, believing, Lord, that each one will be met. Lord, we want to ask that you would just come, Lord, tonight. And Lord, may you touch those that are sick in the assembly, Lord. And may you move upon their bodies. Lord, we realize by the preaching of the word, Lord, our bodies can be healed. And Lord, we just want to claim every promise tonight, Lord, that you have in store for us. Help us, Lord, to have ears that are ready to receive, Lord. Lord, we ask that you'd anoint our brother tonight. And oh, God, how we are so touched by the service, Lord, last weekend. We're so thankful, Lord, to be hearing what we're hearing. So, Lord, we come tonight, Lord, with our pails lifted up tonight. To receive. May you meet each need, Lord, and each one that's been mentioned tonight. We pray, oh God, may there come a testimony, we ask, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain down. Oh, Comforter. And friend, how we need your touch. Rain, 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 rain down. Drip drop, rain.
Everybody in the house tonight, give the Lord a hand. Everybody. Praise the Lord. You do better than that. Think about what he's done for you. Think about what he's going to do. Let's just praise him in advance. Is that all right?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just a few announcements, then we'll go on. I'm going to have you to stand, because you know the man of God has to stand longer than we do. It'll be all right, won't it? Brother Michael just wants to thank everyone who, after Brother Louis twisted everybody's arm, their big toe, their pinky toe, everything, to get them in there to the fellowship hall to help with the MP3 sets on Wednesday night. He wants to say thanks for that. Also, I think there was, it's all the announcements. Praise the Lord. We'll sing a few more songs, then we'll go on. Brother John Linichek, and also Sister Geraldine, where is she? Okay, you going to sing this evening too? Okay, amen, amen. Are you happy?
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
He's good, isn't he?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You say, Brother Joel, what are you doing up there? I'm worshiping the Lord. What are you doing here? Huh? Amen. Let's sing. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He's trampling them out.
He has of his terrible swift sword.
It's true.
And it goes.
Is this truth marching in you? Sing it with me.
Glory, glory.
Glory.
Glory, hallelujah.
Pick them up, sit them down.
Glory, hallelujah. His truth is God.
Sounded for the message. Never, 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 never. Amen.
Oh, be swift.
Amen.
Jubilant my feet.
Amen.
God is marching on, and I say, Lord.
Changed you and it changed me. Amen.
Our God.
Yeah. If you have a handkerchief, grab your handkerchief. You have one.
Oh yeah.
Let him know you surrender tonight. Amen.
Oh, I surrender, Lord. Hallelujah.
God's glory, glory, hallelujah. Sing that chorus again.
Oh, glory, glory.
Still be standing. That truth will still be marching. If you give up tonight, that truth will still be marching. Have you ceased? Amen. You love the Lord tonight. Give him one more hand. As Brother John and Sister Gerald come this evening. God is real, isn't he? Isn't he real? You say, Brother Joel, that's simple. I know, but he's real. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We going to have church tonight?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
When I'm down, when I'm down in my lowest valley and my prayers don't seem to get through, troubles surround me, burdens so heavy that I just to just keep
garden that day. It was all about love. bore all my sins to that cruel Calvary. It was all about love. Well, I'm part of His plan, and I know who I am because I am a prisoner of love. I've been caught in the kiss between heaven and earth, and now I'm a prisoner of love. I was in Him when the lamb met the dove, and now I'm a prisoner of love. Oh, now I'm a prisoner of love. Well, He died there for me between heaven and earth, and now I'm a prisoner of love. Nailing my sins to that old rugged cross, and now I'm a prisoner of love. Oh, now I'm a prisoner of love.
Amen. I forgot to lift the offering, and you can always tell the people that have money, remind you about money. I forgot it, so what's that let you know? Woo! Praise the Lord. As the brothers would come, let's just sing this song. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time.
Is that not a comfortable key? No.
He was there. He's a gentleman in line to let us get through with our stuff. He was there. Let us all stand. Let's sing it one more time. He was there all the Lord.
Aren't you glad you know it's the truth? Shut up. Let's turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. Three places we'd like to read in the scripture tonight. I wish to speak to you on the word must be quickened. The word must be quickened. How many loves your Bible? But now you do realize this is dead. Dead. Now, the Spirit of God will not make you resent that statement. Only tradition and the devil will make you resist that. Because once you see it correctly, you'll know why you absolutely have to have the quickening of the Holy Ghost to make that word live. Amen. If not, we pride ourselves in intellectual faiths. Because we think once we get this right here, this is all I need, bless God. Well, I understand where you're coming from, but this within itself takes life away. It's okay for you to look at me funny and cross-eyed if you want to, but I'll prove it to you. Now watch Paul as he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word. Now look at this, what this means, since there's several Greek words in the New Testament for the English word that we use as word. What is it? Logos. For the kingdom of God is not in logos, saying of speech, what someone has said, a word, the sayings of God, decree, mandate, or order of the moral precepts given by God, doctrine, and teaching. Wow. Well, I can tell we're going to have a time tonight. Yet to be seen what kind of time, but we're going to have a time. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamite from. Not in word, not in logos, but in power. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Paul again, who has also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter, the letter kills. The word, the letter kills. Now this is not Old Testament teaching now, but new. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, logos only, mandate, concept, doctrine, teaching, theology, but also in dunamis, power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Amen. Now watch this in the Hebrews chapter 5. Brother Bram says, you see, the scriptures, no matter how well you know them, if the Spirit doesn't quicken them, then the letter killeth. The Spirit giveth life. See, it must be quickened or made alive by the Spirit. If the Spirit doesn't liven the word and make it a reality to you, then the letter is just intellectual. That's where we have so many confessed Christians today, or professed Christians, is that intellectual conception of Christ. My, let's bow our heads together. Now, Lord, we love you tonight. We're so in love with you, Jesus. We just want you to know that you mean everything to us, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for letting us live in this day. It's a day of great distress and great trouble and great anxiety and so much sickness and despair. But yet, really, there couldn't be a better day for a child of God whose name is on that Lamb's Book of Life to live. So we thank you for this golden age that we live in. I pray that you would come tonight once again and speak to us, Heavenly Father. Anoint your word and anoint our hearts, Lord. Truly, if there be anything out of this service that will be accomplished of eternal value, it'll have to be you. Lord, a man led this service. Humans sang. Humans played the music. Humans lifted the offering. And now another human is fixing to preach. So the whole thing has been infiltrated with human beings. So how can anything eternal come out of something like this unless the divine one comes and takes this human instrumentality and sings through us and worships through us and speaks through us and hears through us? Grant it, Lord God, I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. We know that God, certainly in His thinking, is so much different than ours, that God would divide His word from quickening power in order to bring more glory to Himself. In thinking that He would separate Logos from Dunamis, instead of putting it together and making it that once you get the word, you would get dunamis, or if you got dunamis, you would get the word hand in hand. But instead of designing it to be that way, he designed it that the word would be apart from dunamis, but not function the way that it should without it. Amen. And then he made it so that a person or persons could have the anointing and really feel the anointing and be able to work under the anointing, heal the sick, prophesy, and all those wonderful things. And yet, many of those people would not have logos. So you could have either or, but if your name is on that Lamb's Book of Life, either and or is not what you want both. Amen. Because you know that logos is wonderful. The thought of God, the mandate of the day, the concept of God, it's absolutely wonderful. And we love it and we thank God for it. Yet on the other hand, we know that just by reading the word intellectually, that it takes something to quicken. If not, there wouldn't be so many different opinions of reading the exact same words. Now, if the Greek words were so emphatic in the New Testament, then there shouldn't be several different Greek interpretations of the same word. And there shouldn't be several different interpretations of the same Hebrew word or Aramaic. But yet there is. And Greek scholars were debating back then when the Greek language was a major language of the world at that time. They were debating about a diphthong or a division of a word or, the stress here, the emphasis there, how it should be. And if that within itself, if that being able to understand God was all they needed, then it should have been settled. God would have sent one Greek theologian. That theologian would have been the one that said, well, this is the finale, this is a diphthong, this is that. That would have been it. But God never done it that way. And when he went to sow his human beings on the earth, he done them exactly the same way that he did his mandate for the day. Because they are a part of that word too. So when he sowed them and they took that breath of life, having that little gene of God inside of them, he sowed that without the quickening power. So it could live in them the same way the word would live and be able to say, well, it's the word of God. It's true. It's God's principles. It's what God wants. And that's exactly right. But yet it takes the spirit of God on that word to quicken it or we'll never understand it. And it's the same with the gene of God in a person's heart that they might sit around with the words being preached. They might go to church all of their life. They may be dedicated by a message pastor. They may grow up hearing tapes of Brother Branham and they memorize those tapes. But that still don't mean they got the Holy Ghost. And they've got to have the Holy Ghost in order to make the word live. Now, when I'm talking about that part, I'm not talking about just jumping and screaming and shouting, though it brings that emotional part. But the Holy Ghost not only quickens your body in reaction to make you emotional, it quickens your body in obedience to what the word is saying do. Now, myself being a former Pentecostal preacher, I quoted this scripture in Romans a lot for many, many years. But I quoted it always to back up the thing of shouting and running and dancing, because that's all we knew about it, Brother Chuck, was the Bible said it'll quicken your mortal body. So that was a scripture that we used for shouting. But when you really go to looking at it, that's not even the way Paul applied it. Certainly wasn't the way that Brother Branham applied it when he came. Not saying that we don't believe in shouting, we do. But the emphasis that Paul was placing it upon was that the quickening power of God comes and quickens that word from the seed gene, then it quickens your body in obedience to that word. And many people that shouted didn't have it. Many people that quoted the word didn't have it. And yet God said it that way to where Satan would be able to take that part. Now listen, that Satan can actually take the word without it being quickened, and it becomes a powerful instrument of war in the devil's hands. The devil never come up to Jesus with a bunch of lies and I mean, you know, just one lie after another after another after another, fabrications and creeds and dogmas. But he said, it's written. It's written, it's written, it's written. But you see, that word was not quickening. You know, it's a bad mistake when you go to using the word against the word. Now, Satan was using what was written. Jesus was using what he was. And Jesus had that word not only a memorization, but it had been quickened to him that he knew that word spoke about him. Now, watch this again. Brother Bram says, the word is dead until it's quickened by the Spirit. Now, listen to this carefully now. The word is dead until it's quickened by the Spirit. Again, he said, the gospel is not altogether the word. Now, I know that folks say, well, the gospel has been preached all over the world. It most certainly has not. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Even a lot of places where the tapes are don't mean the gospel has been preached. Well, somebody's going to get quiet on me already. The gospel is not tracts. The gospel is not books. The gospel is not even coming to church. The gospel is the word in action. That's right. Now listen, he says the gospel is not altogether the word. This is the word of God. And he holds up his Bible. He said things that must be based upon this word. And we know that. And it is true. But Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now watch this. Now he didn't say teach the word. He said preach the gospel. So the gospel consists of more than teaching the word. Don't you see the direction Satan's going to take most message, folks? Teaching. 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 No life. No manifestation. No supernatural power of God. It requires nothing of them. All that is, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. And they say it with their mouth. But it requires no life. It requires no manifestation. Requires no action on their part. And that is not the gospel. Well, praise the Lord. You folks going to preach to me or not? Now what? So the gospel consists more than teaching the word. For Paul, confirming that, said, the gospel came to us not in word only, but through power. Demonstrations of the Holy Spirit would come and demonstrate the gospel and bring the word to a living reality. I'm going to tell you, friend, I believe more and more as we go along that we need to have the tapes of Brother Branham, the sermons of Brother Donnie, the sermons of Brother David, and the rest of these preachers quickened to us, not just coming to church and sitting there hearing them with our ears, but really listening to what God is saying and having that word made alive to us as an individual. And then not just saying, okay, I see it, I see it. No, not just that, but going out and letting what we are hearing manifest itself in our lives. I remember several years ago, Brother Murphy Wong and I sat in one of the major airports in China. We was just sitting there talking, fellowshipping. We were supposed to catch another flight, 15, 20 minutes or so to go to another city. For some reason, our flight was delayed. So we started talking about the word. Now, Thomas said, you know, Brother Murphy, you realize that the word is not the gospel. How many looks at me and said, I didn't know that. So it just so happens I have my laptop with me and I flip it open and we take a tour through the message. Let me tell you something, friends. That's one of the things that transformed our brother's life. was not only just the doctrines, the theology, the logos, but seeing the word must be manifest. Not all those Chinese folks, they hadn't been in the message for many, many years like a lot of you also. They hadn't got gospel hardened. So whenever you go there, they simply had simple faith. I prayed for people that was lame and they walked. Prayed for women that was barren, they couldn't have children, and now they've got children. One thing after another after another. You know why? Their simple faith in the word and the gospel was demonstrated. But a lot of American message folks, they don't want the gospel. They want the word in logos format. They want concept, they want mandate, they want the order, they want the doctrine, they want the teaching, but they don't want the gospel, and it will never be that that'll get us out of here and change our body. It was the gospel that brought you to Christ. It was the gospel that led you to sanctification. It will be the gospel that leads us out of here in a rapture. What manifests in what we're hearing? Oh, glory. Do you understand? To most of us, the rapture is still in logos form. It is doctrine. It is mandate. It is the order. But it's never yet been quickened to us yet. Now watch. Brother Ben says, demonstration of the Holy Spirit would come and demonstrate the gospel. Bring the word to a living reality. If you just receive the word by knowing the word, you are kidding me. Just to receive the word by knowing the word don't do you any good. Oh my Lord, have mercy. So I ask you, if you was the devil and you was hanging around this message, what would you do? What would you try to do, Brother Jim? You would try to get these people around this message to hang only onto the mandate side. Only onto the decree, the teaching, the theology. And that's why they sat there and pick every word that a preacher says. And if he leaves out an and or a thee or a but or a for, you know why? That's their thinking. That's their mentality. That's what they listen for. But if you're there feeding on that person of God, you know that's a mortal standing up there. You're not looking for a perfect preacher because there ain't none. You're not looking for a perfect song leader. There ain't none. You ain't looking for a perfect church. You're looking for a perfect bridegroom. Hallelujah. That's what you've got your eyes on. But if your thinking is only logos, mandate, decree, doctrine, teaching, my, it must be just that, 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 that. Which most of the time leaves no room for the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. He says, if you just receive the word by knowing the word, that doesn't do you any good. The letter killeth, the spirit giveth life. Then you must be born again. And then the Holy Spirit quickens the word, not to the age, but to you. Some of you folks know God sent a prophet by knowledge, by hearing it. Some of you know it because it's been quickened to you. Some of you know that serpent seed is right because it just makes sense. Some of you know it because it's been quickened to you. Some of the women in this church don't cut your hair because you're scared I'll preach on you if you do. Or your husband makes sure your daddy. Others of you, it's revealed to you. Some of you know predestination because I preached it to you 1,383 times. And you know it because you've heard the quotes over and over. But others of you, it has been quickened to you. You may not be able to quote five quotes, but you are those quotes. Hallelujah. Because it has been made known to you. Can you explain it? Maybe not. Can you be able to expound it? Maybe not. But you become it. It's been so quickened to you that nobody can get it out of you. But others, they hear me preach it, and then they hear somebody else preach the opposite, and then they lean that way. And then they hear me preach it, and then they lean this way. And then somebody else, and then they lean that way. But if it's ever quickened, you lean this way. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Notice, in other words, he said it's like a grain of corn. If it's lying in my hand, It's just a grain of corn. Now let's take that grain of corn out. Let's put this Bible in there. Let's take this Bible out and we'll put a tape of Brother Branham in there. Or one of me or some other preacher. Or a book. Because the word actually is the gospel in seed form. Now, years ago, the denominations were real big, and they still are. Of course, on handing out tracts. Now, we've replaced that concept. Well, glory. Now, watch this. In other words, like a grain of corn, if it's laying in my hand, it's just a grain of corn. It'll never be nothing else. But bury it. It comes contaminated. Molds. Then it brings up another grain of corn just like it. But look what has to happen. It does not maintain that beautiful yellow color. It does not maintain that wholeness within itself. But you put it down in the ground and the moisture begins to cause an explosion. And it contaminates and it molds and it looks like spoils. But out of that spoil, hallelujah, comes a resurrection and life. So what if we hold the message in our head and we memorize the Bible and we memorize what Brother Donnie said and other men said, and that's as far as it goes? It don't do us much good. Amen. Notice this again. The gospel is not the word only. The word's just a... Some of y'all didn't say that when I said it. So we're going to read it again and I'm going to look at you. I'm going to read it slow. The gospel's not the word only. The word's just a better class, better. Brother Donnie, I'm scared to say that. You need that fear away from you. Do you know how you see this word? It's the way you'll see yourself. If you cannot divide the quickening power from the word, you'll never understand yourself. That's how you come to this earth. You was a dead letter. You was a thought of God. That's how come you could be in sin. And you said, how in the world can I do all that out there? Don't you understand how many denominations read the same kind of Bible you read? And they bob their hair and paint their face and smoke and do all the things of the world. They don't see what you see. Why, it's not quickened to them. But let a real son or daughter of God take that word and it quickens that word to them. Notice this, the word's just a dead letter. The letter quickened and made alive and brought to pass what the letter says it'll do. That's the gospel. Now I'm going to tell you something, friend. We've had lots of moves in this message. They've come and gone. Many of them have lived their day. Many of the founders are gone. Many of them are up in years now and nobody will succeed them. They will dissipate. There'll be a few stragglings of them left. The main one that'll still be left, which will outlive them all, will be the tape, return, Brother Branham, all the idolatry that goes around him. It'll outlive every move that's ever been. You mark my word and see. With that will come so subtly and so sly, this very absolute antichrist spirit of Satan to hand the people the word without demonstration in their lives. I ain't talking about shouting, I ain't talking about healing. I'm talking about them being quickened to the word. I want you to think about something. What do you think would be the most difficult for me to do? To turn this into a tape church and play one of Brother Ram's tapes all three services? Or me preach nearly every day of my life and look at tens of thousands of quotes and scriptures and study till I go nearly nuts sometimes? Which do you figure would be the easiest? I can understand why some preachers turn their tapes to church into tape churches. They're sorry outfits and don't need to be behind the pulpit no how. And I listen to tapes and I believe them, and I've spent tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars around the world to put it in the hands of people who couldn't get it. But I know this, God never called me or any other God called man to sit down and to play a tape and never preach the gospel. It's antichrist and contrary to the word of God. Now, Brother Branham surely would lead his own church in the right example. If that was the way it should be done in this day, then Brother Branham should have forced Brother Neville to step down and never allow that man to preach a sermon and demand that they play his tapes whenever he is not there. But Brother Branham said it over and over again. Brother Neville is our, and even called him his own, our pastor. Oh, come on, church, don't get quiet on me. Don't you see what Satan wants to try to do? Have we got the word? Is the message? Oh, yes, sir. It's right there, brother. Does it change our lives? It does. But is just handing out a book or handing out the tape, is that going to do it? No, sir, my friend, it will not. It will take the same Holy Ghost that anointed that prophet of God to get in our lives and make that word real and make it live out again. If not, we debate and argue and fuss about it. Am I against playing tapes in church? I am not. Man feels led of the Lord to do it. That's up to him. But ain't nobody telling me that I'm going to be playing tapes here at this church unless it's the Holy Ghost. I ain't getting no issues from headquarters. My headquarters is up this way. Ain't no man, no board, nowhere else telling me you need to do this and you need to do that. What I need to do is follow the leading of the Spirit of God and preach a message that's current that'll get you out of here. That's what I need to do, and that's what I'm going to do by God's grace. Now watch, he says, so the gospel is not go out and teach them the Bible. So Brother Terry, what about go out and teach them the message? We go out and teach them, God sent a prophet, God sent a prophet, God sent a prophet. And then we point them back to a tape 40 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old of something that God did 60 years ago. Well, wouldn't it have the same effect if I stand up and just tell you to read the book of Acts and tell you something God did 2,000 years ago? Is there a difference between 60 and 2,000? Or would you rather point me, that I could point you or these other men, to a living God? One that not 60 years ago or 2,000 years ago. Oh my, but right here among us. Service after service, not just here, but all over the world where the gospel is being preached. Makes me wonder, friends, how many message churches have the gospel preached in them? Notice going, the gospel is not go and teach them the Bible. That isn't the gospel. It said in the scripture that the gospel comes just in word only, but through the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, the gospel, that is the word. But the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now a seed laying here on the pulpit is just a seed until it dies and becomes germatized. He says it again, germatized and dies. It'll never do anything. It'll never do anything. The word has to be manifest in order to be God. He said in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Now to the people, to take a word is the expression of a thought. It has to be a thought before it can be a word. So God, in the beginning, gave the thought of what would be, spoke the word for. We see, we receive the word, and it produces what God thought was. The word is the gospel in seed form. So we go out and we hand out books, we hand out tapes and say, here, God sent a prophet, here's a message in the land, here's a message. Well, brother, what should I do? What should I do now? Meet in your home and don't go to no church. And just play tapes. Let some businessman to be over you. It's always the way it works. Glory. Preachers lead too many people astray. That's right. Preachers do lead people astray. But there's some more leading them to heaven. Just depends on which one you're following. So it is. We sit down, we listen, and we listen, we listen, and we listen. Nothing required. Nothing required. We let our hair grow out so the women put on skirts. We look different than everybody else. We act different than everybody else. For the Holy Ghost to move among us, scare a bunch of us to death. For anybody to go up to the altar and start jerking a little bit and think, oh Lord, he forgot his medicine before church. No, he's just getting a good dose of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what I read today. Brother Ben said what we need to do is get on a good old-fashioned drunk. He said Booth Cleveland was walking down the street one day with a policeman. And he said there was a drunk laying on the side of the street. And he said it was so cold, and Booth Clifford told that guy, he said, man, he said, that guy's going to die. He said, he ain't going to die. He said, you're cruel. You need to take him down. They said, so what would you do? You'd take him over to the Salvation Army. You'd warm him up. You'd give him some soup and this and that. He said, but there's something about this man you don't understand. He said, every inch of that man's body is full of alcohol. He said, it can't get cold enough to freeze him to death. And Brother Ram said, I thought, boy, that's what we need, is a good old-fashioned drunk. Hallelujah! Till every inch of us gets so full of the Holy Ghost that the devil can't even affect us no more. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Get so drunk on the presence of God. Glory! Hallelujah! But we want the theology. We want the thunders and the theophany. That's what the prophet of God did. Yes, sir, buddy. Anything with the movement. Pentecostal. Pentecostal. I don't deny it. If you're calling me Pentecostal to shame me, you give me one of the greatest honors you can give me. Because you see, I always go back to 1962 when Brother Bram said Pentecost is God. Then you're calling me God. So go ahead and call me my daddy's name. Woo! What's this? Your life worth of the gospel. Let me say this in closing. The only way that you can live a life that's worthy of the gospel is let the gospel itself, not Logos, not Rima, the gospel, the manifested, quickened word. Let the gospel itself, oh my, every bit of the gospel come into you and reflect his promise back and make them vindicated. Let God live in you to vindicate the promises of this day. You believe God vindicated Malachi for him, Brother Branham? Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10. What about you? Now, Brother Ram would have said his Malachi 4 and said, he believed it. I believe it. Yes, sir, I believe it. And nothing ever come out of him. You'd have a right to question that. Brother Ram says, as long as it's sure, the Bible has the right to be questioned until it's vindicated and proven. But Brother Ram not only said God called him to be that, but it proved it to us. Many years ago, a friend of mine came over to the little church I was pastoring in Kentucky at the time, Pentecostal church, and he preached that God sent a prophet. Well, first of all, it made me mad, because he come into my church and preached that. And secondly, of all, I thought, I'm going to prove him wrong. Like some of you, I was a smart aleck. At least I got rid of part of mine. Some of y'all still got yours. So I thought, I'm going to prove him wrong. There ain't no way that's right. So I started studying the seed. Started studying. Studying a little bit more. A little bit more. And I thought, he was right. I
How could that be? He was right and I didn't even know it. So then I thought, well, if there was a prophet, then Jesus himself said it. Malachi said it. If there's a prophet, then he said it was Brother Branham. How am I going to know for sure? So I go to reading on A.A. Allen, Jack Coe, Shuler. I go to reading on the major men that was of that era, that time frame back there. And I got to reading what they left behind and what they preached and what they done and what they established, because I didn't want to take so much his word for it. If I was going to believe in preaching, I wanted to know what I was talking about. So you know what? After I got to looking at this man and I saw he didn't leave a college. He didn't leave a 900-foot tall Jesus in a statue. He didn't leave some kind of Bible school or some Bible theology. But what did he leave? A desire that people would be closer to God. Did he point the people to him? Did he point them to Jeffersonville or Tucson? He pointed them to Jesus Christ. And once I read that man's life, I thought there can be no other man to meet that spot. Why? It was quickened to me that those scriptures were made alive in his life. I read about Father Divine. I read about many of the other men and their claims. Sun Young Moon and all his flower children. But this one stood out. He not only talked about God, but he proved God. T.L. Osborne stood at the memorial service in April 1966 and said lots of other men told us about God. But he said, Brother Branham showed us God and lived God before us and proved us God. Oh my! When will it be said of us, Happy Valley? They not only talk about it, they not only write about it on Facebook, but they are a Facebook. They are the perineum of his face written in a book of humanity. Hallelujah! Watching trial. I told Harry the other day, I said, I'll tell you one thing. I wish the Lord would have shown me some of these things when I was about 30. He said, well, he probably waited till you was 55, knew you'd need it more. I said, good point. Still wears me out now. Watch this, just like your spirit quickens your body. And the body is quickened by the spirit. Without the spirit, the body is of no effect. The body's dead. The word is dead without the spirit. It takes the Spirit to bring forth the Word to make it live. Now here he says, it doesn't say alive, but live. Well, Brother Donnie, you saying the tapes are dead? I've not said any such thing. I'm not saying any such thing. You listen to them tapes. It's not so much the tapes I'm focusing on. It's the listener. A dead listener can listen to a live tape and still get a dead seed. It's not so much a tape. God ain't got one set of tapes for the bride and another set of tapes for foolish virgins around the message. He's got one set of tapes and both categories to listen. And only the elect are really get the contents of what it's all about. The rest of them will do like he told us in Albuquerque when a servant comes on the earth in 1963 and then God takes him away. Then about 20 years or so after he's gone, they'll look back and realize this man was a prophet. Then they'll polish his tomb. They'll make a great man out of him and go back. Can't you see it? That's exactly the spirit around this message. Focus on Brother Branham. Focus on Brother Branham. Why? The devil don't want you to focus on who you are and your position. Brother Branham never said when the bride sees who I am, she'll go in the rapture. It's when you see who you are in the Word. That's what includes you in the rapture. When that word is quickened and made alive to you. Hallelujah. When it's quickened to you. Notice this again. What is the word? What is the gospel? Rather, the word. The gospel means good news. The good news is the Bible.
But the Bible is the letter. And the letter killeth. But the Spirit giveth life. So Paul said the gospel came not through word only, but through power and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Now notice the only way the gospel could be preached then would be to manifest the power of the Holy Spirit. But don't can folks get hold of here by listening to tapes? Absolutely. I have. No doubt some of you have too. Can people get something from that word on when Brother Ben's preaching on that tape? Yes, sir. Sure can. But the Holy Ghost can never change what's on that tape and pull it to what you need. Unlike a live preacher that's standing up here and got 47 pages of notes and he's got it all studied out in this direction, that direction. This person needs this way, so God pulls him that way. This person needs this over here and he pulls him that way. You can't do that to the tape. The tapes are already pre-recorded. Nothing will ever be added to them, so they'll never be able to reach a congregation like a live gift. Oh, boy, I'm telling you one thing. Oh, man, how much that bodyguard's after this tonight, ain't it? But you know what it is, friend? Satan wants to fix it in concrete and make it to where the people sit there and dry up. Show me one tape church that has a revival. Show me one of them that has a real, genuine move of the Spirit of God. Oh, it's a bunch of sports and a bunch of this and that and the other, and it's only to make more Branhamites, not Christians. We don't want Branhamites. We don't want Reaganites. We want children of God filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in the love of God. Notice this. The Spirit of the Word is the Holy Spirit. That's what quickens it. The letter killeth. And the Spirit giveth the life, see, gives the letter, just the printed letter, life. Makes it manifest, brings it to pass, exactly what God promised. Let's read this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, if you would. We give thanks to God always for you all. What a peculiar thing to say. Here's a messenger of the age recognizing more people in the age. That's a real messenger. He didn't say, I thank God for me. I'm so grateful for me. Glory to God, I thank God for me. I'm just about the greatest gift that God ever sent on the earth. He said, I thank God for you all. I thank God for Paul. I thank God for Brother Branham. I thank God for you. Come on, saints. We give thanks to God always for you all. It's a southerner, wasn't it? You all. Making mention of you in our prayers. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Now hold on and don't run off. Let's all run off together. Look at this word. The act of picking out. Choosing. Use of the act of God's free will by which before the foundation of the world he decreed his blessings to certain persons. Glory to God, friends. This is the election of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The decree made from choice by which he determined to bless certain persons through Christ by grace. Now notice he determines this through election. How are you going to get election to that individual? Seed, word, thought, attribute. And they'll carry it around for years. And it'll lay there in their soul. Just like a corn seed, mater seed, tater seed, watermelon, whatever. It can lay there for years and years. And them down at the bar getting as drunk as they can get on Friday night. saying there's got to be more to God. There's got to be more to God. You know, many people, I think, around the message, they'll confuse them because they think, my, we're talking about that we're born with the Holy Ghost. That's a bunch of nonsense. We're not preaching no such thing. We're preaching that that seed is in you. It's like this Bible here. It can lay on this desk for 10 million years. It'll never make this desk a Christian. But what if that Bible can come off of that desk and strike a seed of God in the heart? It'll make me a child of God. It'll make me in the very image of the Word. Will that Bible turn this back to an oak tree? That's what this is, oak. Will that Bible turn this organ back to a walnut? But that Bible can turn me back to where I was not a sinner. Oh, glory to God. I could hold it in me for years and years and it lay there. And not one speck of it ever manifests itself until it becomes quickened. I wonder if we're in verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election. Paul didn't instruct him to know his. All y'all need to know, I'm ordained of God. I'm elected. But he says, your election. For our gospel. And immediately, going from the teaching of election, it goes to this concept of the gospel. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. Why would he say that? What would be the connection of election and the gospel in word only? Because that's the way they started their journey. That's the thought in the mind of God. And they come down here, friends. I got to be honest with you. I do not understand what putting an attribute of God in this kind of a body does to it. I don't understand how it deteriorates it. I don't understand how it limits its ability even after it's born again. Can you imagine when Brother Ben saw them folks beyond the curtain of time? It was beyond words that he knew how to explain, Brother Jim. And they were only one dimension away. That seed of God inside of those people had formerly been living in dust bodies. And once it left those dust bodies and that seed moved into another house, it brought this great change about a perfection. Do you understand this thing about us, this old, our old frail thing, and you're thinking it's that seed in you, and it's that seed, my brother. It's that house you're living in. It's that house. If God could sweep through this building right here tonight and move every attribute out of here and move you in that six dimension, like that. Do you realize that seed would be in perfection, beyond sublime, beyond perfect? What was the difference? The house. It was in. Amen. Those people beyond the curtain of time and those theophanies have been struggling mortals like you and I. Maybe struggling with diseases or shortcomings or failures. And when they ended their life, they may have come up and said, oh God, I love you with all my heart, Lord. I've never really been what I wanted to be. God, I could have done a better job. God, I could have done this. And all of a sudden it moves out of this and moves over into that. And it looks back and can see what it did. Oh, glory to God. What was the change? It wasn't that he got a perfection shot. It wasn't that he got a glorified shot. It was moving the seed into another house. That was all. That was all. Oh, Lord Jesus. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. Do you understand what actually happens to a regine of God? When the wave sheaf of this day is waved over them, they are hearing the word being preached. It's the word for the hour. Waving over the word deposited in them. And that's why some folks are set under the ministry, they're set under tapes, they're set under a church, whatever, and they hear more and more and more and more message, and it's building more and more and more message image,
But it's not been quickened yet. That's why they'd rather debate it than live it. That's why they're going to argue and fuss about it. Every pastor knows that you've got them in your church, and they love to talk about it. They love to debate it. But as far as living, it's 10,000 miles away from them. And when we miss that, Brother Ben said, in the rising of the sun, Satan don't care how right you are in your doctrine. If you miss that life, you won't come up any hell. Notice, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Now, word on word, what does it do? Well, just look at your Bible. Genesis on top of Exodus, on top of Leviticus, on top of Deuteronomy, on top of Joshua, on top of Judges, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Samuel, on and on and on and on, over to the book of Revelation. What does it do? Paul's word on top of word, on top of word, on top of word, on top of word. We believe that's God's word? Now, if this contains everything, both mechanics and dynamics, I should be able to take this Bible and walk through the hospital after church tomorrow. Not pray a prayer, not lay hands on nobody, but just take this word, go in and touch people. Just every down through every room, I'm going to go to the ER, I'm going to go everywhere and just take this resurrection life. If this is all of it right here, I'm going to go down through there and I'm going to clean out every hospital. I'm going to stay up till midnight tomorrow night if I have to. I'm going to drive to Bristol, I'm going to go to Virginia, I'm going to go everywhere in Europe. I'm going to empty these hospitals out and help some of these poor sick folks that's dying. You folks don't act like you believe me. As a matter of fact, you don't act like you think that'll work. You don't think that'll work. What makes you think that the dry word will work on your head? What makes you think just by you hearing that word, by your intellect? I've been around the message for 40 years. I don't make no difference if you've been around it for 80 years. It still takes the Holy Ghost to quicken it. He cannot make it alive. It only makes a smart Alex. Watch this, Brother Branham says, there's only one thing that'll quicken this word. That's the Holy Spirit. It brings life to the seed. And when He pours out His Spirit upon the earth, earth, as He has in the last days. Joel 2 said, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit. There must be some seeds down here ready to receive water.
Listen, friend, I received the shouting too. I received the talking in tongues. But I'm glad I received more than that. I received quickening. I've spoken tongues, I've shouted, I've seen dreams, I've had visions, I've talked physically with angels before, I've seen God open blind eyes, I've seen God heal cancer, I've seen God do all kinds of things, but I could have done every bit of that and been lost and went to hell if that quickening power never moved down inside of my soul to be able to bring the quickening of the word. Hallelujah! Watch this. Christ was smitten like the rock in the wilderness to a perishing people that were dying, needing water. Christ was smitten that the waters of life might be poured out upon him. He is the Word. And the Bible is Jesus. In printed form. But it takes His Spirit to quicken those words. Now watch Jesus. He lived out this type himself, and I'll close. You can't kill God, for God is a spirit. But you could kill Jesus. You say, my God died. No, He never. God is a spirit. God don't die. It's eternal life. That's why He created the Son and called it Jesus. Give it a human name. And there lays Jesus, the printed word, in the tomb. Dead, lifeless, limp. But Jesus needed to be quickened by Christ. Glory. In order to bring him up out of the grave.
Oh, glory to God. I got the word. I got the Bible. I don't deny that one bit. They could go down there to the tomb and say, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. Yes, it was. But Jesus needed the Christ. Oh, glory to God. Don't you understand? The devil don't care how much we profess to be bride. He don't want us to be Messiahs. I don't want to just be bride by term. I want to be the anointed one. The bride is the Messiah in this hour. His body laying there dead, lifeless, limp. You want to tell me he wasn't the Word? He was Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah 35:3, Zechariah 6:12, Haggai 2:7, Deuteronomy 18:15. All that, he was the Word. And there was not one breath in that body. But Christos, Christ, walked in that tomb. And Jesus acted out whatever son and daughter of God will do in the resurrection. Raised himself from the dead. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? Because Brother Branham said that word was quickened to him.
Oh, glory to God. Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. You know that Jesus looked into the Word, actually, and he knew the Word spoke about him. But he actually had to have that word quickened to him. We'll look at this, the Lord willing, in the morning, but I'm just going to whet your appetite just a little bit. Jesus was so full of quickening power, he said, you can destroy this temple. It took you 40 years, you think, talking about the church, you know, they was looking at. Why could Jesus say that? How could Jesus say a thing like that? He knew. Oh, he said, amen. I wish I could make that stick. He knew who he was. Now watch him, Brother Benham says, do you know you're the ones the Bible speaks of? In order for Jesus to enter into the resurrection, he had to know it was his time. It was him. And then Brother Benham says, do you know you're the one the Bible speaks of? Do you know your position in Christ? If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Do you know the Word is everyday living to you? It is yours. You are an eagle. That's your food. He knew that by the power of God, he would do it because it was prophesied. He would do it. Letter half of this quote, he says, he was so full of that quickening power, it quickened every word. He looked back and seen every word wrote of him. And the prophet said he'd fulfill it. He knew that would be fulfilled too. So if the Son of God had to have it quickened, he could unroll the scroll to Deuteronomy 18:15. All the scriptures I just quoted a few moments ago, he could roll it to there, but that was not enough. It must be quickened to him. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. Destroy this body in 3 days. I'll raise it up. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. The Word must be quickened, friends. Don't get in your mind one day the voice of God is going to find a new book, a new tape nobody's ever listened to. Oh my, you're going to go to a convention somewhere over North Carolina. My, maybe this August. And Brother Ron Spencer, whoever this is going to preach. Oh, that'll be it. Notice the secret here. It's not magnanimous. It's not wonderful. It's not spectacular. That's why we miss it. Notice how he said this is, you're a new creature. Do you know the word? It's just like everyday living. Not living from camp meeting to camp meeting, away from Louisiana camp and then the Georgia camp and then the North Carolina camp. But it's everyday living. Notice the last phrase of this. It's yours. You're an eagle. That's your food. What's your food? What? Your everyday living. Your life. Your sustenance. Listen to me, friends. I'm not just feeding on God sent a prophet. I'm not just saying a feeding on Acts 2:38. I want to feed on this living oracle as it's living out of my life and giving me sustenance for my soul every day with God, my everyday life. I love to see him vindicated in you and you and you. But there ain't nothing like seeing him live out of me either. The word must be quiet. So this can be dead for years. This can be dead in a soul for years. Until the mama flies over it. And Ruach Elohim comes with his great creative wings and begins to brood and make love. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it does something to you. You might be hearing the same. You say, Brother Donnie, you was preaching some of this same stuff 30 years ago. Ain't it amazing it means more to you now than it did then? Reckon it's me or you all? Reckon I found some new quote you wasn't preaching 30 years ago? Reckon it ain't time for brethren to know your election. That you were called. Oh my, you were called for this. Let's pray. Lord Jesus. I pray I made sense out of it to him, Lord. You see, at best, us poor preachers, it's a pitiful job that we do, really. Paul even identified it as foolishness. In one sense of the word, I've got the most foolish occupation in the world. I stand up and preach over and over and over and over and over and over again. You can see why people think it's just mere foolishness. But out of that foolishness, we will take a body change. It may be foolish to the world, Lord, but to us, we hear the words of life. Oh, they hear my old Kentucky grammar and they know I ain't educated and smart and they hear me make mistakes and all that sort of thing. But they know me well enough to know I'm not doing it intentionally. I'm not trying to lead them astray. But somehow they're able to sort through all of that and hear you speaking to them, which is a marvel, really, that you could take a mere mortal and be able to move him aside. That's what you've done through Moses and Jeremiah and Paul and Brother Branham. You're doing it today the same, not in the same capacity, of course. Then, Lord, I pray for them the way that Brother Branham prayed for his congregation and souls in prison before he preached that great, powerful sermon. And I love it because it contains such understanding. He says something like this. Father, I pray that you'd help each man, woman, boy, and girl to understand in the capacity they're ordained to understand in. So, Lord, maybe there's some here tonight with a large predestinated allotment of a capacity. Others that would be smaller or even larger. So, Lord, we're not interested in comparing to this one or that one or the other one. What I want is my ordained capacity. If I'm a thimble full and some of my preacher brothers are 5-gallon buckets or 55-gallon drums or they're like the Atlantic Ocean, I just want to be able to get my portion of what I'm ordained to understand. Anything more than that is pride and it'll never accomplish anything. Help me, Lord. Help me. But I want to see, Lord, all that I'm supposed to see. I pray you'd open our eyes tonight. Father, I read where your prophet said it this way this week. If a person that faith was made known to them in the word that you were their healer, They could sit in the doctor's office and the doctor tell them you are eat up with cancer and you've only got so many days to live. And he said if that substance faith was in their heart, they would laugh in that doctor's face and say, by his stripes I'm healed. Lord, help us, Jesus. Lord, we don't just need it for healing. We need it for all kinds of other things that we're going through in life. For strength and joy and peace and revelation and all these aspects of our life. I need you, Lord. Lord, I've studied so much and listened to tapes so much. Brothers know how it is riding with me down the road when we're going on hunting trips. And quote what Brother Bram said before he says it. And even the phrase he says it and the accent that he gives. Lord, I don't want it to be that. But that comes because you give me a good memory years and years ago. And I've been able to retain that for many years. But Lord, I know it takes more than that. It takes the quickening. Because as I get older, that memory is going to leave me. It'll dissipate. But one day the memory may be gone. The reasoning may be gone. But they won't be able to take that token out of my life. For the quickening power is not just quickening my memory. Quickening my soul. Help us tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come by here, Lord. Come by here. Come by here, Lord. Come by here. Come by here. Come by here. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord.
This morning, Leah got up. She spent the night with Erica. She got up.
She fell on the floor, kind of passed out or something, and kind of shaking and quivering a little bit. And her mom had to take her to the doctor and take her to the ER because her heart was racing real fast. And they've got a heart monitor on her for 24 hours. Oh, we don't know exactly what it was. But what makes it good is we know who the healer is. I'm not a doctor and I'm not going to spend much time trying to Google it. Why should I Google it when I can God it? So what do you say? We got it.
Yes.
Lord Jesus. Father, you see what happened to Leah today, Lord. Lord, the little thing blacked out or something. Some kind of little spell that she had, Lord. And scared Lish and she grabbed her. It's like she come to, Father. Shaking and quivering there on the floor. Her heart, we said, felt like it was racing in her body. Lord Jesus, I pray, dear God, you touch her tonight, Lord. You see, Father, then taking her to the doctor and then, Lord, to the hospital there today, putting this monitor on her little heart, Lord. Father, and I know Lance, as a child, had heart situations. And naturally, we think in our mind, well, could she have received that? But yet, Lord, we want to just look at a natural inheritance tonight. We want to look at a spiritual one. Lance could have, he would have taken all of his bad genes out and not handed none of them to his children, but he had no control of that. But what you did was give us the power of the Word, which helps us to battle bad genes. Help her tonight, Jesus. Please, Lord, touch her. May there be no evil that will come of this, Lord God, I ask. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Many of you probably heard it. Brother Daniel Gissendener has been sick and they thought he was having some mini strokes. Actually, I spent about 2 hours with him on the phone today. The doctors have said they thought it was complex migraines that was actually causing stroke-like symptoms for his face to draw, his side to go numb, and There's some very serious things, but yet we know our Father is a healer. Amen. I'd like for us to remember Him tonight in prayer, can we? Yes. Heavenly Father, my friend, my dear friend, the Lord Jesus, I bring Him before Your throne tonight, Lord God. He's 41 years old. Lord, You see these things that's been going on. Lord, he fell last January and hurt his back and facing a surgery on that and then this other on top of it, Lord. Becoming disoriented and couldn't speak and numb on his left side. And Lord Jesus, I pray for Your mercy. Lord, when You come to this earth, You didn't come to bring us new bodies right then, but what You come to bring was a change after a while. But You suffered stripes so that while we're in these bodies, we could be healed. Lord, we think of Sister Natalie tonight, Lord, and others that have needs in their bodies, desperate things. Heavenly Father, we lift them up before the throne of God tonight. Lord Jesus, we believe our lives are brought on this earth to serve Your purpose, and there ain't enough devils out of hell to take us. We believe the gospel is just not reading quotes. The gospel is just not us coming to church and the preacher preaching and us trying to sit there and absorb it. But the gospel is the demonstration of that word that we've heard being lived out, Lord God. Brother Branham wasn't Hebrews 13:8, and we're not Hebrews 13:8, but Paul said You were Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, move among Your children tonight, Lord. Maybe there's other needs just as important and just as serious tonight, God. Maybe they're not physical. Maybe they're psychological, mental, financial, whatever they are. Lord God, come by this way tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May our faith rise up, Lord God. May it be quickened to the promise of Your word. Hallelujah, that we can walk out here tonight and say, He is my healer. He is my Savior. Hallelujah, He is my provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. Amen, the Lord God has provided. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Somebody needs You, Lord. Come by here. Sing it together now. Oh, somebody. Me, Lord Jesus. My brothers, my sisters. Oh, come by here. Oh, Lord. Won't You come by here? Praise God. I want You to do me a favor. I want You to turn You. Just like your eagle wings over on the shoulder of that other eagle standing by. Our Master said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Brother Branham did this so many times. You realize he was breaking a lot of Pentecostal tradition by doing it this way, because in that day the focus was on one man. I know some of you, you don't understand. You wonder, why does Brother Donnie have Brother Terry to pray for the sick? Why does Brother Donnie have this brother and that brother? Because I don't want your eyes on one person. I don't want you never thinking that I'm the only one that can pray for you. I don't want you never thinking I'm the only one that God hears my prayers. Because this is a body, friends, not one man. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, it's these eagles. Have their hands one upon another. May You go from eagle to eagle tonight, Lord. May You touch them, Jesus. May You minister to them, Lord God. Father, maybe the one that's praying for the other and they think, Lord, I've got so many needs. How can I pray for them? But help them to get the understanding that Job got so many years ago. Sometimes one of the best things you can do is pray for somebody else. Get your thinking off of your own problems. Then God can come on the scene and move for yours. Lord Jesus, we pray for one another. We have no way of knowing, really, what that brother or sister might be going through. They may have come to church tonight and thought, I ain't coming back again. I'm so low. I'm going through so much. I ain't even coming back. but Lord God, let eagle land their hands on them. Right now, they're going to feel the surge of faith. Lord Jesus, as it anoints them. Lord God, we come against these demons of oppression. We come against the demons of darkness, of hell, that's fighting against your people in this last day, Lord. I pray for strength and courage for your bride. Open up your word, Lord God, that we can see who we are. We don't desire to be great people. We don't desire to be important people. We desire to be people who fulfill the word. That's all we want. Brother Bram said, we don't desire to be glorified. We don't desire to seek honor. He said, I don't care if nobody ever even knows I lived on the earth. He said, but if I can just point them to Jesus Christ, that's what we want, Lord. We don't want no buildings built in our name, no highway, no bridges. But Lord, if we can just touch somebody's life and tell them that there's a way, there's a better life, there's a better way to live. Oh, Jesus, minister to your saints tonight, Lord. Not only here in this building, those out on the internet, those that are streaming the service. Grant it, Lord God, I pray. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. We love you tonight, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you tonight, Lord God. We magnify your name. We worship you right now, Lord Jesus. Come on now, Brother Ram said that praise is the water on top of that seed. Let's pour a little water on it. Hallelujah. Let's pour a little water on that seed tonight. Whatever you're asking God for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord God. Lord, we don't want to build no big temples. We don't want to build no great memorials. Lord, we desire to be Christians filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord God, grant it, I pray. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, saints, let's worship him. You don't need music to prime you up. Use your heart. Don't use the organ. Don't use the piano. Don't use the drums. Use your heart. Worship him from your heart. Adore him. Love him from your heart. Music is to be an accompaniment, not a crutch. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We adore you tonight, Lord God. Quicken the word. Quicken the word to our hearts, Lord. Lord, I don't care to confess it before you and these people tonight. I need these things made more real to me, Lord God. I want it to be more than quotes. I want it to be more than scriptures that I look at and study. I want it to be living. I want it to be more real than ever before, Lord God. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We adore you tonight, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Prince of Peace. Oh, mighty God. There is none like you. No prophet, no priest, no president, no ruler, no governor, no preacher, no angel, no church. There's nobody like you, Lord Jesus. We don't want to give that adoration to anyone but you. That love, that secret place in our heart belongs to no one but you, our Lord. Hallelujah, you're our King, our Redeemer. We want you to know we love you. Hallelujah. Sing it, Harry. Let's worship him now as we sing this together to him in his presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Almighty God.
Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord God.
There is none.
Yes, Lord God.
Like
none like you, Jesus. None like you, Jesus.
I worship.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Prince of Peace.
Can you worship him in slow songs as well as fast? Can you feel his quickening power in slow songs? It's not the beat, it's not the rhythm, it's his presence. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord God.
You
yes, Lord God. My Jesus.
For my Jesus. You are my
my Jesus.
Justness.
I love you, Lord God. I love you, Lord God.
I worship.
Why don't you just pull him up close to you and love on him, friends? Why don't you just pull your husband right up to your breast as it was and just let him know how you love him. How you appreciate his election. You appreciate his redemption.
There is no
great Adonai.
Like
Ruach Elohim.
You.
We bless your name tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. You are worthy, O God.
Almighty God.
Yes, Lord.
There is none like you.
I
worship you.
Glory. I worship you. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is love like you.
Amen.
Well, you may be high. One thing I know, when the Lord gets ready, you've gone. Well, you may have been a drunk, sitting out on a bar stool, and on Saturday night you'd go out. And make yourself a great big fool. But when the Lord, got ready, you had to move. Well, you may have been sitting in a message pew. All starts up in theology, but none of it was really new. But when the Lord got ready, you had to move. Well, there's a bunch of bodies laying right over here. Some of them done gone back to the dust when they left out of here.
Amen.
But when the Lord, when he gets ready,
dead as a stump. Have no life and you're like a pickle, and you don't even know what's going on.
But when the Lord is finished, your gospel's a gonna burn, you're gonna burn. Well, you gotta burn, you gotta burn, you gotta burn, you gotta burn. Well, when the Lord is ready, you gotta burn.
Somebody wants to testify. His name is Lazarus. He said, I don't know for sure where I was. I was 4 days' journey out in somewhere. Oh, my body had already started to rot, and my nose had done fell in. But I heard a voice, oh, ringing out to eternity. And he said, Lazarus said, I have to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. God bless you, saints.